weekends on the Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good morning. 97.5 The Fanatic, Tyrone Johnson Show. Oh, the sun is shining. Oh, the air is crisp once again. Oh, my. The Sixers have survived. We got a game 7 tomorrow night. They take care of business last night in Atlanta. Playing 8-on-5. The Sixers take care of business. Curry, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and the young rookie, Tyrese Maxey, take care of business, and we have a game 7 here. It'll be on 97.5 The Fanatic. I got Sixers Outsiders tomorrow night. Tomorrow's Father's Day. Today's Juneteenth. There's a lot to get to today. Oh, my goodness. 610-632-0975. And, man, we'll start like we always start. Dylan producing today. We'll start like we always start with the word of the week. Because it applies to both the team and it applies to us. It applies to the team and it applies to all of us. And that word of the week this week is resilience. The word of the week is resilience. Because let me tell you, you saw it. Game 5, since we last spoke to one another, game 5. Oh, goodness, game 5. The worst collapse that I've ever seen. But now we have a game 7, but it was the worst collapse I had ever seen because I thought this team wasn't resilient enough. All right, they did not have the necessary resilience to get back. I thought it was over last night, to be honest with you. I expected today to be a post-mortem. I expected today to be a funeral. But no. Oh, no. The heart still beats. Oh, the heart still beats. There's a game 7 tomorrow. The referees last night, they had a bunch of chances to fold up the Sixers. The referees. At one point, Collins had Embiid in a full headlock and dunks, and they called the foul on Embiid. Another time, they called a phantom offensive foul. And then Collins kicks Embiid, and they call a double tech. The Hawks and the refs turned the lights out in the arena, but they were able to overcome. They were able to use resilience and get ready for game 7. But I need to talk about us because I have to admit, I said it out loud. I said it a lot on the Mike Missanelli show, and I meant it. I truly believe the Sixers were going to lose last night because I didn't trust their mettle. I didn't think they would have enough resilience to come back after an epic, historic, worst loss in Philadelphia sports history. But they were able to do it. So now the question is, can you and have the resilience? Do you have the resilience in your heart to bounce back and be fully all in and believe in the Sixers tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, game 7. Do you have it is the question. Do you have that resilience? Are you tough enough? Can you be like Maxey? In fact, Dylan, I know you got it ready. He had a lot of great plays last night. But from the young rookie who helped save the Sixers season last night, one of the highlights from the fourth quarter last night. Go ahead, Dylan.
Herder right there. Here's Maxey for three, and it's good. Tyrese Maxey pours in a triple. His first three in the game. He's got 13 points. Sixers by 6, 9:40 to go.
That guy balled last night. He balled last night. Maxey, we know, has the resilience. We know he has the resilience. Do you have it? Or are you still sitting home scared? Because I can tell you, I'm done with game 5. It's gone for me. I was down until they won the game last night, and I'm no longer worried about a game 5. I am all directions, all eyes going forward towards game 7. Oh, I'm excited. Now, there are things that I think Doc Rivers needs to change. And we're going to get to the poll thread because there are some issues with the team. Obviously, they're not perfect. The bench, Dwight Howard's minutes have been terrible. Ben Simmons last night, foul trouble, manages to only score 6 points. Now, I'm going to tell you, and Korkmaz should not be starting. So I'm going to tell you what I would do tomorrow in Game 7. Then we're going to get to the phones because I see people are lined up. I don't want to make anybody wait on this Father's Day Eve. We have a lot to get to. It is Juneteenth, after all, as well. It's a day we should all celebrate, regardless of, well, there is no other opinion. It's a day we should all celebrate. And it's Father's Day Eve. It's Father's Day Eve, and we're going to talk about the TV and movie fathers. We're going to get to all that today. Devon Givens is going to join me at 11:30, my guy. All right. I'm starting Maxey, Curry, Simmons, Tobias, and B. Doc, I know you're back in town. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me. Maxey, Curry, who's been fantastic. Ben Simmons, who has struggled. Tobias, who bounced back. And Embiid, who did not have a very great offensive game by any means, but his defense, anchoring the defense, made a huge difference last night. That's the starting five. Do not come back with a Korkmaz. Do not come back with a Korkmaz. Do not, if you want to win. Should not be a Korkmaz. But I will say that there were a lot of people who suggested taking Ben Simmons out of the starting lineup. I think that that's preposterous. But I will tell you so far, 25% of the people would rather take Ben Simmons out of the starting lineup than Korkmaz. If that gives anybody an idea how we feel about Ben Simmons right now, despite the fact that they won Game 6 and he was on the floor, obviously, for the win. All right? 610-632-0975. Word of the week is resilience. The team has shown some resilience. Do you believe in them in Game 7? You heard my starting lineup. Are you back in? Are you into it? Let's go to the phones. We got a lot of stuff to get to. But I just want to, once again, before one second, the referees last night, I honestly believe, and I'm saying it out loud, I believe that they were crooked and were going to try to take it from the Sixers. I think they were crooked. I think they're bad at their jobs. And I think the NBA needs to recognize that they need a complete overhaul in this shortened offseason. A lot of those refs should go back to college. I don't want guys to be unemployed. Go to the ACC with that garbage. Go to the Pac-12 with that garbage. You are a Big Ten ref. You're not an NBA ref. And I'm telling you, I love this job. But I would happily quit this job to go work in the league office and oversee referees, because a lot of the stuff that happened last night wouldn't happen if I was in charge down there. Adam, can I call you Adam Silver? I'm not gonna call you Mr. Silver. Adam, I'll tighten those refs up. Dustin Redding, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dustin?
Ty, good morning. It is a beautiful day, my friend.
Yes, it is.
It is. We got a Game 7 in South Philly. And I'll tell you what, I was at Game 5, Ty. I was hurt.
Yeah.
Last night, I go into the game, and the way the game started out, I was like, wow, they're really going to go out sad. But they didn't. They really didn't. And I tweeted the exact lineup that you said just now. I said the same thing. That's got to be the lineup. Doc has to push all of his chips in. I need to see more of Maxey. The kid's hot. The team just plays at an unreal level, energy-wise, everywhere with him on the floor. Korkmaz really he's not an NBA starter to begin with, and he's certainly not a Game 7 playoff NBA starter.
No, he is not. And I don't understand even the thought of starting Korkmaz. First of all, they were 0-2 the first two games, and the closing lineup, Korkmaz was on the floor when a lot of the bad stuff was happening because of his bad defense to go with it. That's the one big issue. Playing Dwight Howard too many minutes. He's been terrible this whole series playing him. And then starting Korkmaz, get off to a good start by having Maxey out there.
Absolutely. It to me, that's what needs to happen. And I just feel like the team wants to play around Maxey because they look at him and they say, wow, the rookie is getting all of this. I have to be at that level.
Yeah. I the rookie gave a lot. He gave a lot last night. If you don't love that guy, I don't know. I don't. I don't know what more you would need. I don't know what you possibly could need. Roman, Port Richmond, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what up, Ty? Good morning. Happy Juneteenth. Happy early Father's Day.
Same to you.
All right. Thank you, man. I'm happy we got a game seven. I just want to say last night, even though a lot of people don't want to hear it, Ben Simmons getting in foul trouble was a blessing in disguise. Right? Honestly, I don't think Doc planned on playing Maxie that much, and the foul trouble like forced his hand, and it worked out in our favor, because without Maxie, we probably would have lost that game.
So I saw that during Sixers Outsiders last night, a lot of people were tweeting that to me saying that they honestly thought that if Ben wasn't in foul trouble, they would have lost. And you truly, are you saying you agree with that?
I highly believe, because I think if Ben was, because he wasn't playing good, he was a minus 15 at one point. Like, I think they probably would have went down 20 in the first quarter if that didn't happen. Maxie gave him that spark. Like, I don't think the position that Ben Simmons is playing, the way that he's playing, like, it's not going to work. Like, we need a real guard out there to change the dynamic. Like, the Hawks are not even guarding Ben on the perimeter, and they're just slagging back, and it's hurting the team. But they can't do that with Maxie, because he's a guard, and he can put pressure on the defense. And tomorrow, I think the biggest key to winning the game is Doc Rivers. He has to play the right personnel, regardless of anybody's feelings. If Ben isn't playing well, play Maxie. Even if Embiid isn't playing well, play whoever you have to play to win the game, no matter any politics.
You can't not play Embiid.
I'm not saying you can't play Embiid, but I'm just saying if he's off, you got to go with, like, play the hot hand.
Who you going to play? Dwight Howard?
I'm saying
they ain't got no hot hand otherwise. See, that's where we go too far. You got to play Ben Simmons. You got to play Tobias Harris. You got to play Curry. You got to play Embiid. That's mandatory. The rest of the guys are the ones that aren't mandatory. And Maxie, you must at least start. Those are the guys you got to play. You can't get too cute. Oh, no, Embiid's 0-3. Let's take him out and put in Dwight Howard, who's been terrible this whole series. No. You got to ride with what got you here, but have less variance. Playing 10 guys, 9, 10 guys, none of that. I can tell you probably can't play Shake Milton. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Morning, Ty. I'm glad your prediction didn't come true last night. I've been calling for Maxie to get more time the whole series. You know, and when you think about the two comebacks the Sixers had in game one and game six, Maxie was on the floor and helped fuel both of them. And, you know, for some reason, sorry about that other phone ringing. Doc seems blind to that. I hope his eyes are open now. Because without Maxie, they don't win. I mean, he just energizes everybody. But, I was curious on what your opinion was on Simmons' fouls. I mean, some of those fouls looked like intentional fouls.
None of them were intentional.
Right in front of the ref.
None of them were intentional.
Well, then they were just stupid because, I mean, the ref is standing 2 feet away and you just come up and blast the guy in the back. Now, you know that's going to be a foul. I mean, it almost looked like he didn't want to be on the floor.
Well, there's people who suggest all those fouls were he was out there playing overly aggressive, probably trying to do too much.
Yeah,
because he has been struggling, but I don't think he got fouls on purpose to get taken out of the game. I do not believe that.
Okay, I guess it's just fortunate that it worked out that way because, otherwise I don't think Maxie would have got his run, and we'd be playing golf today.
You know, that's an interesting thing. Now I didn't want to go there. Eric, Don, I'll get you in 1 second. 610-632-0975. Now, I didn't want to go there. Word of the week is resilience. It seems more and more like a lot of fans think that it was good that Ben Simmons didn't play a lot. Now, if that's where we are, no one has said that about Tobias Harris. No one said that about Joel Embiid. Obviously, no one said it about Curry or anybody else. But do we really believe? And again, this is your show, folks. If you really believe that, I really want to know. Do you truly believe that the Sixers lose if Ben Simmons didn't get in foul trouble? That you needed less Ben Simmons? And then do you truly believe that in Game 7 you need less Ben Simmons? And the reason I say that is, if we're really there, if we're at that point, first of all, I don't care about what you got to do. You just got to get in there. You just got to get in there and win Game 7 and move on. All right? Get to the conference finals. This team has not been to the conference finals in 20 years. I don't care how you get there. You get to the conference finals. So that's step one. But have we gotten to the point, has this city gotten to the point with Ben Simmons after a victory to where you guys now believe less is more? And then as far as resilience, the last caller and other people think he got in foul trouble on purpose because he didn't want to be out there. Has our opinion of Ben Simmons gotten so low? Has our respect for Ben Simmons gotten so low that we now truly believe that he didn't want to be out there for a game six, and or you didn't want Ben Simmons out there on the floor? We've gotten to that point in the season. If that is the case, long range, Ben has a lot of work to do to win back the fan base, because that kind of thing matters. Because we've seen athletes struggle. It's almost like he's now being treated like the quarterback when you want the backup quarterback to come in. And that, to think that we're going with a multiple-time all-star, and that's where we're at right now, not great. Eric in South Carolina, you're on 97.5 for that.
How you doing, Tyrone? Good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
I just want to elaborate on some things from last year. When the Sixers got swept by Boston, Ben Simmons had back issues, right? He had back surgeries, right?
He didn't play, yeah.
He
had back injury during the season. He missed the playoffs because of a knee injury.
Right. Now look where you at today with him. You're in a game seven. I take up for Ben every time, right or wrong. He's a good player with lots of talent. Okay? Tobias Harris, lots of talent. But everybody puts fault on Ben Simmons. Why? I just want to ask these
people.
Well, because
he had 6 points last night and five fouls.
Okay. 6 points. The man played defense. When your job is to stick a guard like number 11, it takes away your offensive game.
Well, how come Maxey guarded him and Maxey scored 16?
Okay, Maxey scored 16.
And he had to guard, and he also had to guard the same guy Ben had to guard. Now listen, I said my starting lineup, Ben would still start. But you can't just say because he's guarding Trae Young, 6 points is going to be all right. You can't say that. That's just false. He may have to score more to win in game seven. We don't know how the game's going to play.
Okay, let's go back to Shake Milton. Shake Milton was hitting all these three-pointers. Everybody talking about, Shake saved the other game. Oh, now we're going to Tyrese Maxey. Now, if Tyrese Maxey have a bad game in number seven, then what the fans going to say then?
The fans are going to say is, well, first of all, Maxey, it shouldn't live or die with Maxey. The other players should step up. Curry, Embiid, Thibault, and Ben Simmons should step up. So what we'll say is, hey, he was a rookie, but Ben Simmons should step up. That's what we're going to say. And that's part of the reason why you play Maxey, because it's low stress. It's low stress for him. He could just go out there and be free. But he played well. All right? They played well. He played well. And the team showed some resilience last night. Now they got to come back home. Game seven. Crowd, if they have PTSD, I understand. Why they would have that. I get it. I truly get it. But they got to be loud tomorrow night. They have to be hype. The fathers in there have to be excited. it's big that they have to have show resilience and be back. They can't get nervous. They can't start booing unless it gets really out of hand. I'm saying early in the game seven, the crowd is going to play a factor. That's why you get the one seed to get game sevens at home. Shouldn't have happened in the second round, but that's a question for later. Right now, it's just about winning the game seven. Don in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, Ty. What's good?
What's going on?
Hey, I got one change to your starting lineup, and I'll tell you my reason. So I'm putting George Hill in to start instead of Furkan. I tell you, man, I got something major to admit. I couldn't watch the game last night, man. I had PTSD. I had a long week. I was stressed, and this was just adding to it. I watched about 5 minutes, and I was like, I'm out because Furk is starting. And the reason why I start George Hill is because Maxi gets energy from home crowd when he comes in. And I think that just adds to it. I don't want to disrupt that. I let George Hill start and then flow from there. As it goes with Ben, look, man, Ben's a star, but he's not a superstar scorer. He plays his role. This is going to shock you. At the end of the season, if I got to pack him up and send him for Lillard, and maybe even this people ain't gonna like this. Maybe even Maxie, I'm getting Dame, and I'm gonna let
we'll see. Here's the thing: if they get to the conference finals, and I think they will now, if they get to the conference finals, they're probably not going to change the squad. If they lose tomorrow, oh, there'll be changes coming.
I agree with that, but you know, I think Seibel can become defense in exchange for the lack of offense if we needed to do that. But yeah, it was a rough week, and I was after those two games that we gave away, I couldn't do it, man. And as far as the rest, you are 100% correct. Something's got to change because the flopping and all the other stuff that we're seeing from Trey and leaning into people, it's horrible. It's horrible.
It's bad.
All right,
basketball.
Man, I'm gonna listen.
It's bad basketball. It's bad basketball. But the refs, they get paid to do a job, and they do it poorly. They get paid to do a job, and they do it poorly. And people use an excuse like, oh, they could call a foul on every play. But they don't use that excuse for any other job. And a lot of jobs are more important than NBA ref. Imagine you got people out here that are doing construction work with a big old crane, and they got to be within a millimeter. They don't go, oh, well, no. There's people under that crane. They could die. Yeah, we don't give that excuse. We don't, oh, there's a lot of tough jobs. Try doing 3 hours of radio solo. That's tougher than ref of the game. I'm tired of these people with these refs. Oh, they have a tough job. Is it tough? See a foul, call a foul. Call travel, don't call travel. It's not a hard job. All you got to do is look at the game and know what you're doing. Reffing is easy. That's the problem. We make it out something that's easy out to be hard. I'm telling you, it's easier to ref than color inside the lines in a coloring book. Yet we pretend like it's a hard job. You can see a foul from a... Come on with that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Word of the week is resilience. Tyrone Johnson here with you until noon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
On the line right now with me, you hear him every night on 97.5 The Fanatic. and in various other places talking hoops. He's the one of the city's top experts, my guy Devon Givens, on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's going on, Devon?
Good morning, man. Much better day than it was Thursday morning following game five.
Absolutely. A much, much better. I want to talk about it right away. Tyrese Maxey. A lot of fans out there have been calling for him all season long. There's been times where he's looked like a rookie. There's times where, like last night, where he looked like much more than a rookie. Elaborate a little bit on what you saw from him last night and what you would do with him in game seven.
I saw a poise out there on the floor, no fear of the moment. Ty, you know, just taking it back to you and I speaking before you got off the air and I jumped on at 6 o'clock with Jamie, and you and I talking and saying to you and how I felt about Maxey being the only one that, since I lost so much faith in this team after games four and five blowing those leads, that Maxey was the only one that I felt like I trusted, because it seemed others were a little, you know, scared of the moment. And even though Maxey didn't play much, he only played 1 minute, just knowing what type of player he is, we think, and seeing him all season long, that I had faith in him. Now, again, I didn't predict that he was going to have 30 minutes, 16 points, and rebound the ball the way that he did, defend Trae Young and Lou Williams as well as he did either. I just felt like that was a guy that was someone that I felt comfortable with being on the floor. And it showed. And it showed as soon as he stepped on the floor. It showed early on. As Ty, I was just looking at some video of him from last night. And because I had written, you know, I write my notes and all. And I went back to the score. It was 29-23. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 29-23. And he was defending Lou Williams coming up the floor. Now, I bring that up simply because I remember the camera had panned to Doc Rivers and Tyrese was on the free throw line. And Doc Mount was, for us, reading his lips, mouth to him, press up, get up on him after his make or miss. And Lou Williams was the ball handler. So we know Lou can handle the ball, but pressuring him is not like it's Trae Young. And he did so. And he forced him into a bad shot on the left side of the floor, right around 13 feet. He not only did that, but he also got the rebound. Came up the floor, left side. Solomon Hill is his defender. He brings up the ball, kind of a secondary break, and Dwight Howard comes up, sets the slip screen, and Okongwu jumps up and hedges out instead of playing back with Dwight Howard, and all Tyrese Maxey did was jump up, quick pocket pass to Dwight Howard for a dunk. That was his night in sequence. Good defense. Great offense as well. And again, just understanding what the flow of the game was. He was going at his own pace, fast, slow, whatever it was. He was tremendous last night.
He was. And Tobias and Ben Simmons getting early foul trouble. Tobias ends up redeeming himself, playing well, as he does the majority of the playoffs. Ben Simmons is a different story. People have been talking about it all day. I got people already, even though they won last night and there's a game seven tomorrow, they've been calling me today, Devon, talking about trading the guy, talking about the trade today. Like, we don't know. We'll figure out what's going to happen, obviously, after game seven as far as his future. My thing is, it's out of the window already for Ben Simmons to have a good series. It's already too late. It's might be out of the window for him to have a good playoffs the way he's been shooting from the foul line. But in theory, at least, he should still be capable of having a moment. Is it possible still? Are we too far gone for Ben Simmons tomorrow night to still have a moment?
I think this will really tell us a lot about who he is, Ty. We've seen him as a three-time All-Star now and All-NBA selection, All-Defensive player as well. But times like this will tell us what type of player, what do you really have in your chest when it comes to a big spot like this. We saw him in a Game 7 in Toronto in 2019. Not a great game, not necessarily a bad game either. Could have done more. They lost, as we know, in the Kawhi Leonard shot. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is a different way to redeem yourself. All of the things that have happened in this series that have been negatives for him, that can all change in 48 minutes in one game. So it's up to him. And I can't answer that to say, will it happen? You can't, and others can't either. And I understand the frustration. I'm right there with everyone. But tomorrow is a big moment, and I hope that he recognizes that moment. I hope that he lets everything from games 1 through 6, the good and the bad, go, and just go out there and play basketball, not only offensively, but but defensively. We know offensively he's very reluctant. He doesn't trust himself right now. Something has to change within his next 24 hours for him to believe in himself, because there's so much riding on clearly the season with this being an elimination game, but also potentially his future. And I hope he recognizes that and comes out. I'm not changing anything, Ty. He's still starting for me tomorrow.
Me too.
And I'm giving my normal starting five with Korkmaz in there.
I'm starting Maxey.
Starting Maxey. So, yeah, I get it. I'm not changing anything, but he would be my first person off the bench. And it will be a quick hook for anyone. Simmons, Korkmaz, quick hook for anyone. Maxey is the first one coming off.
That's fair. Now, looking back at that game seven you mentioned, and this is the difference between a Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons that has become more and more clear as we go on. Joel Embiid did not have a great game last night. I'm not going to pretend he had a great game, but he ends up with 22 and 13. And in the fourth quarter, he has the foul line jumper, and he's involved. Misses a three, whatever, he's involved. So it's almost like, okay, if he's going to get you 20 and 10, and you know it, even in a bad game, fans, I think, mentally can live with that, because they're saying he's out there, he's involved in the game, and he's affecting the game in some way, shape, or form. And I do think defensively he did impact the game yesterday. It was not a good at all offensive game. Ben Simmons is to the point where fans don't have any trust that he'll be even in their minds, trying. And I think that's the ultimate sin with Ben Simmons right now. I think there's a lot of people out there who think that he's not even trying. He's going through the motions out there. And I think he needs to try to change that, because that matters going forward.
100%. And that's a fair assessment, because we don't know what we're going to get. All we can really look at, Ty, he was basically a basketball player to bring a ball up and hand the ball off, and that's it. He was, you know, as much as look at what Pat Beverly has become with the Los Angeles Clippers. He's basically come up, hand the ball off, and run into the corner. And Ben Simmons has been that lately as well. He's getting up there, he's directing the traffic with the initial bringing the ball up and getting across half court. And then he just kind of releases and goes elsewhere, and he's non-existent now for the rest of the 20, however many seconds are left on the shot clock. So I understand it. I don't trust him either. As I said, Tyrese Maxey, outside of Embiid and Curry, who we had already known had those two good performances in game five. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know where we are with Simmons right now. And I don't think any of us are going to change anything until he changes our mind. And that's up to him how he does it in game seven. I was frustrated with him when he was out there, when he was back out there, and Doc Rivers trusted him to be out there on the floor. All he was doing again was bringing the ball up, hand it off, maybe set a screen, slip somewhere else, go into the corner, go around the baseline, and that was it. And I understand the frustration, especially when you're talking about a game seven where it's win or go home. All things are available. All things are on the table right now. If he's in there, if he's out of there, whatever it is, we'll reevaluate in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. But at the end of the day, we're trying to win. And if one of your star players has to sit down, then he has to sit down, and that's up to the coach to do that. Same way last night with the Clippers and the Jazz. The Jazz up by 25 points, and you leave Rudy Gobert out there because he's Rudy Gobert, that's what you get. You lose the series. And we can't have that in game seven for the Sixers if he's not playing well.
Also, since you brought that up as an aside, I've been saying that Ben Simmons defensively, and obviously we're down on him, is a better player than Rudy Gobert. And last night's an example of why. Joel Embiid's also a better defensive center than Rudy Gobert. He just is.
Yes, he is.
He just is.
He can step out. Yeah, exactly. He's not just a one-dimensional face-up or weak-side shot blocker type of defender. He's versatile, can also help you out on the perimeter from time to time, staying with a wing or a guard, and of course, doing the work that he does on the low block as well defensively. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just something since you brought that up. But, all right. Last thing I'm going to ask you about. You could do your prediction. I know you're doing the pregame show tomorrow with Bob Cooney. So hold your prediction for when you're on the air tomorrow. I'm not going to ask you to reveal anything right now. Last thing I want to ask you about is this bench. For me, I'm going in if I'm Doc. Doc once again plays 10 guys. Even though Shake only played 4 minutes, he still played 10 guys. I think that's too many. In my mind, we know the top six guys, because if you're going with the same starting lineup, you know that Maxey's going to come off the bench in your scenario. You know Thibault's going to come off the bench, and probably Hill, who ended up helping him last night, probably had his best game as far as being a stabilizing force as he's been with the Sixers so far. not flashy, but didn't turn the ball over 20-plus minutes. He was a plus 10. So you know he's going to play. Dwight Howard's minutes generally this series have been very bad. And we know Shake Milton. Does Doc finally go in and say, basically, Embiid's playing 40 minutes. Ben, I'm going to get away with him playing 8 minutes as my, quote, backup center. And I can't afford to play Dwight. I can't afford to play Shake. Let's shorten the bench in a game seven. Or do you think he goes back to his same old, we're playing 10 guys and we'll see what happens?
I do think he shortens it tomorrow, Ty. I really do. I'm sure having with him been in this situation before, he knows that now's not the time for all of that. Maybe there is a situational thing like Milton getting in for a few minutes. But if the Sixers are up and they're able to hang on to a lead and continue to play the way that they're playing, I don't suspect that Simmons and Harris would get in foul trouble the way that they did.
I agree.
Right? So maybe that also had, maybe he had a game plan and it had to change because of the foul trouble. But let's assume that they do not get in foul trouble for the second consecutive game. And it's a normal type of substitution pattern and rotation. Well, substitution pattern. I do think he shortens it a bit because he has to. Maxey, Stiebel, and Hill, those are your guards. I trust Simmons defensively, Ty, where if he has to play a few minutes with Capella or Onyanku, Okongwu, then I'm okay with that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.